Welcome to Surgical Educator Podcast, the show that brings clarity to medical students and surgical trainees on complex surgical topics. I am your host, our Master of Ceremony, for this episode. Today, we are going to discuss about sigmoid valvulus, one of the common causes of large bowel obstruction. Joining us today is Professor Dr. Selvaraj, an experienced general and pediatric surgeon. Welcome, Dr. Selvaraj. Hello, MC. Thank you. I am excited to talk on this important topic. Well, what is the epidemiology of sigmoid valvulus, doctor? Sigmoid valvulus is a relatively uncommon cause of intestinal obstruction in the United States, accounting for fewer than 10% of the total cases. However, in other parts of the world, it plays a more prominent role. About 50 to 80% of intestinal obstruction cases are sigmoid valvulus. I mean the large bowel obstruction. The condition primarily affects older adults with a mean age of 70 years at presentation, and it is more common in men. Patients often have a history of constipation and may be institutionalized or debilitated due to underlying neurologic or psychiatric diseases, that is neuropsychiatric disease like Parkinsonism. Well, doctor, what is the etiopathogenesis of sigmoid valvulus? Good. Sigmoid valvulus occurs when an air-filled loop of sigmoid colon twists about its mesentery. Usually, this twist is in a clockwise direction and it is a closed loop obstruction. The degree of torsion is critical. Obstruction occurs when the twist exceeds 180 degrees. Impairment of vascular perfusion occurs when the twist exceeds 360 degrees. An intriguing variant known as iliosigmoid knotting involves the ileum wrapping around the sigmoid, usually also in a clockwise manner. The risk factors for sigmoid valvulus are: number 1, long sigmoid mesocolon; number 2, narrow attachment of sigmoid mesocolon; number 3, overloaded sigmoid colon, which occurs in those who are consuming high fiber diet; number 4, band of adhesion due to peri-diverticulitis that will cause an adhesion at the summit of the sigmoid bowel loop. Well explained, doctor. What are the clinical features of sigmoid valvulus? Patient with sigmoid valvulus typically present with: number 1, abdominal pain, often colicky and localized to the left lower quadrant; number 2, abdominal distension due to the obstructed bowel loop resulting in enormous dilatation of abdomen; number 3, absolute constipation or obstipation, that is inability to pass stools and flatus; number 4, tympanic percussion node over the over-distended abdomen; number 5, on examination, if the underlying bowel is viable, there will be only distension of the abdomen, which is soft and tympanic on percussion. If underlying bowel is non-viable or gangrenous, then There will be generalized abdominal tenderness with rebound tenderness and gauding. If the underlying bowel is also perforated, not only gangrenous, it is also perforated, then apart from generalized tenderness, rebound tenderness and gauding, these patients will also have rigidity. Very well explained, doctor. What are the diagnostic investigations for sigmoid valveless? Well, number one, abdominal X-ray. The classic coffee bean sign reveals the twisted sigmoid loop resembling a coffee bean. Other names for it are bent inner tube sign, omega sign, Freeman doll sign. Other findings may include dilated sigmoid loop, multiple air fluid levels, and distended colon. We should also do CT scan, which will provide details about the degree of torsion and the vascular compromise to the sigmoid colon, which is very useful for surgical planning. Well, what are the complications can happen in sigmoid valveless, doctor? Number one, bowel ischemia. This is because of impaired blood supply. It can progress to gangrene if not promptly diagnosed and treated immediately. Number two, eventually, these gangrenous bowel loop will go for perforation, which will result in perforative peritonitis. The risk increases with prolonged obstruction. Because of the perforation, eventually the patient will go for septic shock and the patient may die. What is the treatment for sigmoid valveless, doctor? Good. The first thing is, we have to resuscitate the patient. We have to give fluids. We have to correct the electrolyte imbalance. And we should also put a nasogastric tube and decompress the stomach. Number two, we can do detorsion by urgent endoscopic or sigmoidoscopic detorsion can be done. Or alternatively, manual detorsion can be attempted under general anesthesia. Surgical intervention can be done. If the bowel is viable, you can do elective sigmoid resection after detorsion. If the bowel is already non-viable or gangrenous or even perforated, then emergency surgery should be done and you have to end up. But after detorsion and doing sigmoidectomy, you should not do primary anastomosis, unlike those patients who are having, the viable bowel. After resection, we can do primary anastomosis. Whereas, if the bowel is already gangrenous, you can do resection, but we should not do primary anastomosis. Instead, you have to do what is called Hartmann's procedure, where you have to do the proximal colon. You have to do an end colostomy. The distal colon, you have to close and keep it inside the peritoneal cavity. Post-op care, close monitoring is very important. Of course, we have to give antibiotics and give all other supportive measures like IV fluids and all. Sigmoidopexy was done in the past for viable sigmoid colon, but currently, only elective sigmoidectomy should be done even though the bowel is viable. So we should not do sigmoidopexy. We are not doing it anymore. So whether the bowel is viable or not viable, you have to do sigmoidectomy only. But if the bowel is viable, then we can do elective sigmoidectomy. The bowel is non-viable, then you have to do emergency sigmoidectomy. Very well explained, doctor. Thank you, Professor Dr. Selvaraj, for shedding light on sigmoid valveless. It has been an enlightening discussion. It is my pleasure, MC. Remember, prompt diagnosis and management are key to preventing complications. To our listeners, thank you for tuning in Surgical Educator Podcast. We hope this episode enhances your understanding of sigmoid valvulus. Kindly listen all other episodes also in this Surgical Educator Podcast to gain excellent knowledge in surgery. Until next time, keep learning and stay curious. Bye-bye.